Let us look at some of the principles of any restrictions which have been placed. All the allied acts which I have explained to you in the previous chapter, they are based on certain principles for placing restrictions. DGFT may adopt and enforce any measures which are necessary. One, protection of public morals, protection of human, animal, or plant life or health. I've explained to you all these in detail in the previous chapter, number one. Protection of patents, trademarks, and copyrights, and the prevention of deceptive practice, prevention of use of prison labor, protection of national treasures of artistic or historic or archaeological value, conservation of exhaustible natural resources, protection of trade of fissionable material or material from which they are derived, and prevention of traffic in arms, ammunition, and implementation of war. These are basic principles on which restrictions are placed by DGFT. What are prohibited goods? Import and export of goods may be prohibited. This is not as per Customs Act. It is as per the foreign trade policy. And here, it is all in compliance with United Nations Security Council resolutions, UNSCRs. All resolutions, all conventions, the resolution has got to be applied to our country also, because we are a part and parcel of the United Nations Security Council. And here the first one is import and export of arms and related material from and to Iraq. Arms, ammunition to Iraq or from Iraq, no, totally prohibited. Import and export of UN Security Council document listed items of goods and technology which could contribute to the nuclear-related, ballistic missile-related, or other weapons of mass destruction-related program of DPR Korea. And import-export of UN Security Council document listed items of goods and technology which could contribute to the enrichment related reprocessing or heavy water related activities or to development of nuclear weapons delivery related systems of Iran. And prohibitions of import of charcoal from Somalia. And any other compliance of international resolution or convention. At any future date, any resolution is coming up from the UNSCR. Yes, we have got to comply with that and treat those goods as prohibited goods. When we look at the entire policy in general, first we look at the import policy. Import of goods used in projects abroad, yes, freely allowed. Project contractors, after completion of projects abroad, may import without an authorization goods, including capital goods used in the project, provided they have been used for at least 1 year in that project. Mind you, though that particular item is not allowed to be imported, but if they have been used in a project, a multilateral aided project or World Bank aided project in a foreign country under export project, then such machinery, after being used for at least 1 year in that project, they can be brought into India. Then import of prototypes, import of new second-hand prototypes or second-hand samples may be allowed on payment of duty without an authorization to an actual user, that is the industrial user who is engaged in production of or having an industrial item, license for that item, or a letter of intent for research in items for which the prototype is sought for product development or research. And this will be on the basis of a self-declaration to the effect, to the satisfaction of the Customs Department. That means the concerned importer has got to give a declaration to the satisfaction of the customs authorities that he is satisfying these conditions as far as the item import is concerned. As far as second-hand goods are concerned, there are two situations. One, restricted. And the restricted items of second-hand goods are personal computers, laptops, including refurbished, reconditioned, and spares. So all laptops, all computers, all parts are restricted for import, especially second-hand. Then second-hand photocopying machine, digital print and copying machines, etc. All second-hand air conditioners, second-hand diesel generating sets, second-hand goods other than capital goods. Why? Because we have got a huge manufacturing capacity for all these items in India. So why should we buy a second-hand item from a foreign country where those technology at that stage may have become an obsolete technology, whereas we can generate our own production based on current technology and not on the basis of obsolete technology. Then certain second-hand goods are freely importable. They are allowed to be imported without any restrictions, of course, after payment of customs duty. And they are refurbished or reconditioned spares of capital goods and all other second-hand capital goods. That means those which have not been listed in one above. Of course, import of metallic waste scrap is subject to the condition that it will not contain hazardous toxic waste, radioactive contaminated waste or scrap, any other explosive material, either used or otherwise. I have explained to you this second-hand waste scrap or waste material import in my previous chapter, that is chapter number 1. There are certain special provisions for import also. For example, re-import of goods which are repaired abroad. Goods which were imported, they are sent back for repairing or reconditioning. That is capital goods, equipments, components, parts and accessories, whether imported or indigenous, except those which are restricted under ITC harmonized system, may be sent abroad for repairs, for testing, for quality improvement or upgradation or standardization of technology, and re-imported without an authorization, they are allowed. But there are also special provisions for hides, skins, and semi-finished goods. The hide, skins, and semi-finished leather may be imported in public bonded warehouses for the purpose of direct tax entry over here. That is the domestic tariff area. That is India. You know, India, there are two situations. One is SEZ, special economic zones, which are treated as foreign territories. And another is DTA, which are declared as the domestic tariff area. That is where all local laws are applicable. SEZ, local laws are not applicable. And these hides and skins, when they are imported and kept in a public bonded warehouse for DTA sale, and any unsold items can be re-exported from such bonded warehouse at 50% of the applicable export duty rate. There is an export duty applicable here. Next, we also have a situation where an import sale can take place on a high sea sale basis. That means before the goods land on Indian shores, they are on the high seas ale. On board an aircraft or on board a foreign going vessel, sale of goods on high sea sales for import into India may be made subject to foreign trade policy or any other law for the time being in force. When we look at export of scomet item, we have to understand what is scomet. Scomet is the nomenclature for dual use items of special chemicals, organisms, materials, equipments, and technologies. Now, these items are dual use items where they can be used for peaceful purposes, but they can be used as weapons of mass destruction, as weapons of war also. And export of dual use items and technology under India's foreign trade policy is regulated. You have to obtain permission from DGFT. It may be totally prohibited or may be permitted under an authorization, that is under a license. And goods, as indicated in Appendix 3 of Schedule 2 of ITC Harmonized System, that is classification of export and import items, they shall be governed by the specific provisions mentioned in that particular schedule. And those specific conditions will have to be complied with. When we look at the export promotion schemes, government has given the exporters certain benefits to make them more competitive in the international market. And those schemes are all export processing zones schemes, free trade zone schemes, export-oriented unit schemes, electronic hardware technology park scheme, the software technology park scheme, the biotechnology park scheme. These are all respective schemes where government is giving certain benefits for increasing exports in these particular areas to the exporters. Certain benefits, certain ease of doing business are being given. Under duty exemption schemes, the duty exemption schemes enables duty-free import of inputs which are required for export production with actual user condition. That means those goods which are imported and on which duty is not being paid, they have got to be actually used in the production of goods which are meant for export, and ultimately they are exported. Under this duty exemption scheme, you have the advance authorization scheme, that is an advance license, of course, and then duty-free import authorization scheme. Advance authorization is issued by DGFT for under this duty-free import authorization scheme to allow duty-free imports of all inputs, that is raw materials, components, etc., which are used for manufacture of the export product. Compulsory, the goods have got to be exported. In addition to this, of course, fuel, oil, energy, and any catalyst which are required, which are consumed in the course of their use for export production, and to obtain such export product, can also be allowed under this particular scheme without payment of duty. The advance authorizations are issued for physical exports, intermediate supplies, and deemed exports also. That means you have, in order to obtain this advance authorization for importing duty-free goods, you have got to show that you will be physically exporting, or you are giving intermediate supplies to some exporter, or there is a deemed export. And advance authorizations are also issued on the basis of annual requirements for exports and such supplies. That means those exporters who have been doing exports continuously, they may apply for advance authorization for total supplies requirements over a period of years. At least one particular year, they can apply and obtain it. Not necessarily consignment to consignment basis. And all such AAs are issued to either to a manufacturer exporter or merchant exporter tied to a supporting manufacturer who will manufacture the product for export and give it to the merchant exporter. Merchant exporter will export. They can also be issued to subcontractors in respect of supplies of goods to specified projects, provided the name of such subcontractor appears in the main contractor. This is in relation to World Bank aided projects, all contractors who are supplying for these projects. And under this particular scheme, there is a standard input-output norm created by DGFT, S-I-O-N. This determines the proportion of various imported inputs which are required for manufacture of different export product. That means so much quantity of import product is required for manufacturing a particular unit of the export product, including the wastage which arises out of this. These are declared in advance by DGFT under SION, and importers would be allowed to import those quantities and ensure that the respective quantity is exported. The norms have been fixed. Of course, for gems and jewelry, there's a special scheme for all exporters of gems and jewelry. Why? Because they're all high-value items for exports, and many items are imported on a large scale. Therefore, exporters of gem and jewelry can import or procure duty-free input for manufacture of export product. And the schemes are as follows: advanced procurement, replenishment of precious metals from nominated agencies. Nominated agencies means certain agencies will import that particular product because everybody cannot import. For example, gold is not allowed to be imported by everybody. There is a condition attached. But State Bank of India is the nominated agency for import of bulk gold, and then State Bank will give such imported good to the exporters of jewelry as required for gem and jewelry exports. Replenishment of the gems, replenishment for consumables, and then advance authorization for other precious metals also required under the jewelry export schemes. We also have capital goods which can be imported without payment of duty under the Export Promotion Capital Goods Scheme. Zero duty under the EPCG scheme allows import of capital goods for pre-production, production and post-production at zero customs duty. Subjective condition, yes. Subject to an export obligation equivalent to 6 times of duty saved to be fulfilled in 6 years. Yes, this composition of export obligation may change from time to time by government issuing notifications for any change, any deviation in the export obligation period and quantum, both. They are available to exports of engineering and electronic products, basic chemicals and pharmaceuticals, for apparels and textiles, for plastics, handicrafts, chemicals and allied products, and leather products. Of course, for service providers, those who are providing services, not actual export of goods, but service exports, it is required to be fulfilled by earning foreign exchange through rendering service, like all 5-star or 7-star hotels. Their foreigners coming to stay in their hotels, they pay in foreign exchange. When the hotels earn such foreign exchange, they get some export benefits just by earning foreign exchange. And based on that, they can import capital goods which they require for enhancement of facilities in their hotel. Exports in discharge of export obligations are entitled to duty neutralization schemes like drawback, advance authorization under DFI scheme, as well as any other benefits of reward schemes such as MEIS, or now it has become RODTEP. Yes, all benefits under these schemes are also available to the exporters who are importing goods under EPCG. Under EPCG, there is another clause, another methodology calculation available also, which is known as post-export EPCG duty credit script. Here, the post-export EPCG duty credit scripts shall be available to exporters who intend to import capital goods on full payment of applicable duties in cash, of course, by demand draft basis, etc., or e-payment basis, and choose to opt for this scheme. That means when they import the capital goods for export production, at that time, they have paid full duty on the capital goods. When they are exporting the resultant product, they declare that, yes, we have manufactured these products using this imported capital good. And on such a declaration, and by giving proof of import and duty having been paid, a certain percentage, certain quantum is being given back to them in the form of a duty credit skip. And exporters, when they get such duty credit scripts, they can sell it to some other importer who will use the script to pay duty for any other imports. Basic customs duty paid on capital goods will be remitted in the form of freely transferable duty credit scripts. These credit scripts are transferable from exporter to another importer or to some other trader importer also. Specific export obligation shall be at least 85% of the applicable specific export obligation under the EPCG scheme. Under the normal EPCG scheme, it is 100%. But under post-export duty credit script, it is only 85% of the amount of duty which has been paid. duty remission shall be in proportion to the export obligation fulfilled. Quantum of export will be determined and duty remission will be granted. And all provisions for utilization of the scrip shall also be applicable to post-export EPCG duty credit scripts. You know, this type of credit scripts are applicable for other forms of exports also. For example, export houses, large export houses, trading houses, star export houses, etc. They also get such credit scripts. Same type of scripts is being granted to post-export EPCG scheme. All provisions of the existing EPCG scheme shall also apply insofar as they are inconsistent with the scheme. That means whatever applicable conditions are placed on the parent EPCG scheme, same conditions would be placed on this post-export EPCG scheme also, other than the export obligation aspect, because export is being completed before the after importing the machinery. Let us look at the export oriented units. All the other EOUs, biotechnology park, hardware technology park, they are all part of the export oriented unit schemes. An export-oriented scheme was introduced for manufacturer-exporter with a certain minimum value addition in export earnings. Primary condition is a value addition. And of course, these units for repair, remaking, reconditioning, re-engineering, rendering of any services, development of software in software parks, etc., agriculture, including agro-processing, aquaculture, animal husbandry, biotechnology, floriculture, horticulture, pisciculture, viticulture, poultry, and sericulture. These are all the types of industries which can be classified as an export-oriented unit. And these units are allowed to import without payment of duty capital goods, raw materials, components, packing materials, spares and consumables required for export production. Originally, when the EOU was formulated, at that time 100% export was required to be undertaken by the EOU units. But over a period of time, it was found that there are certain production wastages or rejects also. And therefore, it was amended. Now, it is applicable for export of 75% of their production they have got to export. And only then, they would be classified as export-oriented unit. The balance 25% can be sold in the domestic tariff area in the local market, subject to applicable rates of duty or taxes. And such units can export all products or services, except those items which are prohibited items of ITC harmonized system. Thank you.